And I'm getting pushed.
Beautiful.
All right, so usually there's the last song. But since we went over, we don't have a last song. And then during the last song, I turn on my computer and get it revved up, warmed up. I am special. No, I don't want, oh. No, I, whichever is fine. We're good. So, right there. All right there. Have you never sat in that seat before, Kayla? Whew, that's a stretch. That I do not think that's a new seat. Mean Geraldine. All right, so are we?
Yeah.
We are? Oh, let's get going. So, Nick, would you like to open us up in prayer? So, as we've mentioned, or I've mentioned, it's February 14th.
What day is that?
Valentine's Day. No.
It's Christmas.
Red coloring, but it's pink. Red and pink. Valentine's Day! All right, so Valentine's Day was named after, right, so he's a priest around the year 269 A.D., if you did not know. And there's a couple different stories, legends, if you will. Nobody's exactly sure because that was a long time ago, right? And so one of the things that I think inspired the day, it goes similar to this. Is that Rome's emperor, Claudius, you know, he was thinking that soldiers would fight a lot better if they didn't have to worry about their wives being at home alone. So, logically, he said, nobody gets married. I'm just banning marriage. Right? So, and what would a young lover do? They would go to a priest that defied the emperor, and he'd marry these young couples. And they're Christians. And at that time, being Christian was really, they were really persecuted by the Roman Empire. They didn't like it, so it was illegal to help out a Christian. Then it was really illegal to marry a Christian because of the ban on marriage. So Claudius had him imprisoned and then later executed. So, and that's why I think that Valentine's, you know, over the centuries, you know, I'm sure things got a little distorted. But Valentine's Day has been known as the day of love. Right. Bananas. Now, in the English word, or the English language, you know, love can mean a lot of different things with the same word, right? You know, the statement, I love tacos, and the statement, I love my wife, you know, they sound similar, right? They sound the exact same, basically. It's like, I love tacos as much as I love Michelle. But no, I love one more, right? Obviously. No, no, as I could go, I don't want to, but I could go without tacos for the rest of my life. But I can't go without my wife. So, I get brownie points for this. You might listen. Okay. Now, the Greek language is a little bit easier to understand, if you will, because they actually have different words for different types of love. So typically, there's four major ones. There's eros. Now, this is the type of love between a husband and a wife. It's a romantic love. It's including longing and caring for. So that's eros. And then there's stergo. It's a love between parents and their children. You know, maybe our people and their ruler are a pet and their owner. You know, it's that type of love. And then philo is an affection, emotional fondness for another person. You know, Philadelphia is named from this. And Philadelphia is known as the city of, does anybody know? Huh? Close. Huh? Philadelphia cheese. No, it's not known for the, could be known. Huh? So it's emotional fondness for one another people. That's what they're known for. But brotherly love, that's what Philadelphia means, is brotherly love. So that's why it's known as the city of brotherly love. But the one that's most seen in the Bible, that is throughout the New Testament, is, and I know we've talked about different names of love. Anybody know? You know it. I know you know it. Agape. Yeah, that one. There's another one, but agape. So agape love, or agape, is the love that's most seen throughout the Bible. It's loving somebody with nothing in return. Even if that person is undesirable, despite disappointment and rejection, not because you get something out of it, it's because it, and it's not just because it's the right thing to do. Agape love is a choice. It's something that you'd want to do. Agape love is the love Jesus has for us. You know, the love God wants us to imitate. In John 13, if you have your Bibles, you'd be doing better than me. John 13, 34. Jay, would you like to read that?
34.
Yeah, 34. So we're supposed to love one another just like Jesus loved us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes about love. So let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses And a little preview is that if you have a New King James, for sure on the New King James, but usually there's a little title before certain paragraphs or chapters. And this one says, the greatest gift.
Chocolate.
It's about roses and chocolate. All right, so verses 1 through 3. Brandon? Chapter 13. Yeah, 1 through 3. So Paul's talking about a great number of things, right? So anybody want to help me out? I mean, what's he talking about? In a nutshell, yeah. He's talking about how he could do all these great things, right? These awesome things that people would be like, whoa. You know, things that should be able to save people. Should be able to convince them about believing in God. But he's saying without love, without agape love in his heart, it means nothing. It doesn't profit him. It doesn't profit anybody else. Because why is he doing it? You know, if there's not love in his heart. Let's go on to verses 4 through 7. Kayla? So there's a lot there, so we're going to break it down a little bit. So love suffers long and is kind. Meaning that we don't get mad at the drop of a hat, right? We don't get mad at the very first thing. Do we get mad at the second thing? No, we don't get mad at the second thing either. Right? So suffers long. It's exactly what it sounds like, is that, you know, you might get offended or frustrated, right? But you keep that frustration for a long time, and you're kind. The big thing, you're kind. In Matthew, let's keep our finger in 1 Corinthians because we're not done there yet. But in Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Nicholas?
And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but seven times seven.
Okay, so Jesus throws out this huge number, right? This huge number. It's not that we're supposed to count out to 490 and done. Done, you're out. Right, just so you know, Nick's at 325. But he has a little bit more to go. But it's so that we keep forgiveness in our heart. You know, it's, you know, what Peter said, seven, you know, has somebody ever offended you, that same person, more than seven times, right? I mean, sometimes we're sensitive and we get offended easy, right? So Seven, that's not a big number. You know, that would happen. So Jesus wants us to keep forgiving, to have forgiveness in our heart, not just here or there. In 1 Corinthians, we're back in 1 Corinthians. So the next part was love doesn't envy. Love doesn't envy. So what do you think that, what is envy? What does envious mean?
Want.
Want what? Things that he doesn't have, and that somebody else has. Right? So it's a want of something that somebody else have. So if love doesn't envy, it's when something happens good to somebody else. Right? And you're happy for that person. You don't wish, oh, I wish that didn't happen to them. I wish that happened to me. You know, if they win a race or they just won a chocolate bar, it's like, oh, man, I wish I had a chocolate bar. Right? But you're happy for them. You're happy for them. You take that out of the equation where it's not about you, it's about other people, where you put the needs of somebody else before yours. Right? Then love doesn't parade itself. It is not puffed up. Humbleness, right? There's the key, being humble. You know, showing off is a selfish act, if you really think about it, right? It's like, look at me. Look what I can do. You know, and it's all about putting that person first. And they're not thinking about feelings of other people. They're not thinking about other people at all, right? They're just kind of concentrated on themselves. So a lot of these go side by side, you know, because doesn't behave rudely, right? We could correlate that with everything we've said so far. Being envious, parading itself, if you're not kind when you suffer, when suffer happens, doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own. So again, it's thinking about themselves. Love doesn't do that. If we have true love, our agape love, it doesn't think about itself. You know, it's more other-centered. You know, putting others first, not what's good for me or what the desire I want. It's what's better for other people. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. So vengeance is not a part of love. You can't even take the letters and make vengeance out of love, right? Or vengeance into love. It only has one letter with it. If they do this to me, I'm going to do this to them. Right? Sometimes it's human nature. We get thinking that way. It's like, I want to get back at them. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. But that's not love. You know, and that's about thinking about evil. Because you don't repay evil with evil, do you? That's not the proper way. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Lies. And any relationship or relationship, whether it be the boy-girl or family, friends, lies can tear people apart, can't they? Right? And I'm sure we've all been lied to or tell little white lies. Even little white lies is still a lie. Right? isn't it? Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, I kind of lump those together, but it's more or less is that it doesn't mean that love is blind or naive. Yo, love does recognize problems. It recognizes faults, but love doesn't lose faith. Doesn't lose faith in other people. You know, so it might have to bear a burden. It might have to believe that that person's going to change, or things are going to change. The hopes that things will change. It endures. If it doesn't happen right away, you know, you have the strength to keep going. Love endures. It doesn't stop believing in chances. In verse 8 through 10, TJ? So love is not those things that just fade away. Love doesn't fade away. It's not forgotten. If somebody shows us or shows you guys a true act of love, you know, don't we just picture that? I mean, they might have hurt us there or there. But that true act of love, we picture that still, that same act of love as love, right? That doesn't fade away. That doesn't get forgotten. You know, when we remember those moments, that's always love. It doesn't fail. It doesn't fade away. It's not, you know, prophecies, although prophecies, there's great prophecies out there, right? But sometimes prophecies may fail. And tongues, you know, that doesn't last forever. But love never fails. Verses 11 through 13. Brandon? First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. So it is a learning process. We're not perfect, right? No? Nobody here? But it's a learning process. In some areas, it's going to take more time than other areas, right? For some of us, it might be easy. This might be easy, but this might be hard. And it might be the opposite for the next person. But it's a learning process. And something we should all work on. Because love is a part of faith, it's a part of hope. But without love, faith won't be whole, our hope won't be complete. So we need to have that love, that agape love, that love for other people. In Galatians chapter 5, so we're going to the right. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. Through 23. So if we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, right, what does it say? That there is
love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
So there is
no law.
There is no law. Right? If we're walking in the Spirit, there is no law. So it's, you know, we don't even think about the law if we're abiding in love. Right? We don't think about the law if we're abiding in that love. And the whole reason for that law is so that we do abide in love. So if we're already abiding in love, we're completing the law. Right? Does that make sense? That's why there is no law. Because if we're walking truly in the Spirit, truly in agape love, you know, we're already doing what the law wants us to do. Right? That's in our hearts. We should be doing it because we're thinking about others and we're thinking about God and we're worried about them doing this. So we're not committing any crimes. Is that's what it's all pointed at for us to keep. Now, the greatest example of agape love is? It is Jesus, right? It's Jesus. And especially we could see this in its most popular verse in the Bible. Oh, what? I've never heard of that one. What is it? John 3:16? We'll read it, I guess. John 3:16, and then we'll read 17 too, just for giggles. John 3:16 and 17. I mean, you just want to do it without reading it? And then 17 usually, yeah, is less memorized, I should say, but let's go ahead and read that too. Who's? So even though we were sinners, Jesus was willing to sacrifice. He is willing to die for us so that we might be saved. Even the ones who hated him might be saved, right? We may never be asked to die for one another, right? But if you just contemplate this, is, you know, we can... You know, there's chances we will be asked to love the people around us. Is that a possibility that we could do that? Can we forgive those who wronged us? You know, Jesus died for us, but can we do these little things? I mean, in comparison, it is little things, right? But sometimes we struggle in those areas. James chapter 1. So again, to the right. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. I think that's big when we're talking about love. And that goes along with the long suffering, not behaving rudely, slow to speak. And long to hear, right? Wanting to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. TJ, can you close this in prayer?